Hello everyone to another random podcast where I, your host, Muhammad Amr, interview very interesting people in unscripted conversation and a casual exchange. The podcast is coming from my room where no super technical equipment are needed. We are in the Christmas and New Year time, but this will be published maybe at the end of March. The idea of the podcast is super simple. We have a list of words, we put them in a randomizer, we randomize it, and then the word that comes up will be the topic of the day. We have no idea what the word is, so there are no preparation, and we might even don't know what the word is, and the conversation would be awkward. The whole idea is that we discover it together, and that you come with us through the process of the discovery. My guest today is...
Yaron.
Hello, Yaron. Would you introduce a bit about yourself?
Sure, thank you. Excited to be here.
Thank
in
you.
In this random podcast, a random... introduction of myself would be that we know each other since a bit more than a year now. Mm-hmm. I moved to Berlin last year, living in the Netherlands before, where I've also been born and raised. And I decided to move to Berlin because of, possibilities.
Nice.
I was needing a change, and that fell together with possibilities in love, in work, and in social things. So
nice.
That's where I am now, and I'm very happy to be here.
Cool. What do you do for a living?
Gonna start next week, actually.
Woo!
With my new job here. So
congrats.
Thank you. And I'm gonna work in neuroscience. Mm-hmm. I've studied medicine, and I will do that in the future again, so combining neuroscience with neurological clinical practice.
Cool.
One thing before I forget.
Go ahead.
I stutter. Mm-hmm. I stutter already since I'm 4, so that's already 25, 30 years ago. And I think it's important for the people who hear this, the listeners, that they understand why I sometimes talk and breathe a bit differently than they're used to.
Cool. Nice to have you here. So we're going to jump right away. We're going to randomize a word.
Yes.
We may want to have some drum roll. And the word is formal education. Ooh. You want to jump there or you don't want to jump there?
Can we do another one and then choose?
Sure. Risk-taking.
Yeah, let's do risk-taking.
Risk-taking, nice. Well, did you do any risk-taking when you came to Germany? Because now you said you needed a change and you're in the Netherlands.
Absolutely. Different types of risk-taking, mm-hmm. with different amounts of risk, mm-hmm. I would say. I think what was the biggest risk, and I mean in a lot of things I was quite confident, but... the last 7 years, I worked towards a job in the Netherlands to go into a clinical residency there. And that's in the Netherlands quite difficult to get those positions. Mm-hmm. And I was actually at the point of getting it. Like, I was asked to start, and then I decided to say no.
Ooh.
And that was... a tough decision, but also the idea of moving here, moving closer to my girlfriend, exploring a new city, country, and a city like Berlin made it also easier to make that decision, because I didn't move here with a job. So last year I did some applications, and that worked out fine, even a bit of different direction. But that was risk-taking. That was not choosing for the certainty, security. And there were some people in my surrounding who were also... I had to explain it a couple of times before they understood.
Why are you doing this? Why?
Yeah.
Well, basically, I think we all take risks, right?
Yeah.
But some of us take leap of faith risks, and some of us are still in their comfort zone.
Last week we had snow in Berlin, if you decide to take your bicycle and not the U-Bahn or the S-Bahn, that's also already like a certain risk.
That's suicide.
I disagree with that, but no. So there are absolutely, there is everyday life risk-taking. Yeah, that's also what makes life fun. No?
True, in a sense, commenting on that, I always understood the idea of risk-taking from a mental way, or like, you know, choosing another city, choosing another job, quitting your old thing, breaking up with your girlfriend because, or boyfriend or whatever, because you feel that you reach a point where this is not going anywhere, although maybe you're still in love. So there's a lot of risk-taking on a mental level, but I've never understood on a physical level. You know, those people who do extreme sport or do crazy stuff, which is funny and weird at the same time, because I came here through taking a physical risk.
Speaking of risk.
Yeah. What do you have to say about physical risk taking? Because what does it really bring? Like, we know what... go ahead.
Well, I think it's works a bit the same, I guess, because you take a risk because you expect that you get something out of it, or you hope that you get something out of it. And with physical risk taking, it's the same. I mean, or let's assume that it's physical risk taking with somebody does willingly and not under pressure. Then the person expects to get adrenaline back of it, or a exciting experience, or maybe for, I don't know, prestige, or that you did something or dared something. It can be, I think, a lot of things.
Okay. with all due respect, I'm not belittling anybody's enjoyment or the way they think about things, because usually for me, when you take a risk, either it helps you for the future, it takes time to really go into the process, and then you kind of reflect back and then you go forward. But with physical, it just feels like a very moment result, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. But that's also necessary to be happy, right? I mean, it's not everything that you do which is for the long time. As I said, for example, cycling. So imagine it's snowing next week again and I take my bicycle to the supermarket or to work. Then that's because I take the risk of maybe slipping because it's slippery. But what I get back for it is that I have a nice refreshing ride to my destination, that I have some physical exercise, and that's maybe faster. So that are then the things you get back for it. And if you take a bike and you go here into the woods and you make it a sportive activity, you take even more risk, but what you get back for it is physical exercise, adrenaline, physical exercise which works well for your mental well-being.
Really?
Of course.
How?
You should try.
last time I took risk-taking, it went me into 5 years of depression. So, but this was different, right?
Yeah.
But how, like, because this is very interesting, because I never understood it, and how that could be good for your mental well-being by taking physical risks.
Yeah, well, for example, me, if I didn't move, like sportively for 1-2 weeks, I start to feel that, like it affects a bit my mood, and I can sleep better after sports. I can work in general better, like my head's more clear, I make better decisions. So for me, it's a bit a mental well-being. And if I do a sport which has some risks, and that are not like major risks, but for example, off-road cycling, or personally, I love to play soccer, football. It's also not without risks. I mean, the risks are overviewable.
Because it's common that people now no longer acknowledge them as risks.
Yeah, but you can get injured.
Of course.
Let's say it like that. So you risk a bit your ankles and knees and your flexibility over the years.
Okay.
But yeah, I know that I get something back back out of it. So.
Interesting, because every time I was in a physical risk and I got the pain, let's say, out of it, because sometimes you can take risk and you don't get any pain, right? Like
you
do whatever crazy stunt you want to do, but then it all lands up well and blah, blah, blah. For me, maybe because I'm, I don't know, clumsy, every time I take a physical risk, it's always ended up with getting hurt. And every time I get hurt, it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Maybe the risk percentage gets a bit higher. Right? Yeah, but that's also interesting. Like, where is the point where you're going to risk it?
True. I mean,
if I'm going to play a soccer practice or a soccer game, I know that the chance that I will break something is very, very, very small.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, would you still do it if you would know that 10% of the cases you will get injured? You know, that's, I mean, for example, rugby.
Ooh.
There, I never played it.
Good for you.
I have quite respect for it, and I think it's a really interesting, really fair game.
Mm-hmm.
But the risks are obviously, because it's way more physical. So it would be interesting to ask this to a rugby player.
Maybe for them it's not even risk-taking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the risk that they are bruised the day after, mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty big. So they don't care about it.
The mindset is that they do not go that this is a risk taking. Like, this is my job. This is my everyday life. So it's not.
Yeah, they fully accept the risk.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
I love professional wrestling, right? And those guys can get hurt like this. You know, a normal move that they have made thousands of times, today landed wrong, and they are out for 6 months to 1 year, and maybe even ended careers, right? And I wanted to do professional wrestling. And then to me, it's like when I go to there, this is sport. You know what I mean? So in my head, sport is not risk-taking. Although there is risk involved, but it's not risk-taking. So I think also like how you define risk-taking is play a huge part in doing stuff. For me, risk-taking is when you want to kind of switch the lane, change something, go out of your comfort zone, or do something that you have never done. Like, for example, rugby, professional wrestlers, they do that every day. But for example, jumping from skydiving, for example, although it's now very, very secured, right? But it's something out of the ordinary. Would you call that one definition of risk-taking, or risk-taking is everyday risks?
Yeah, I think both.
Both.
I think both. Okay. Yeah, I think the risk-taking for me, the risk-taking in like a life decision, but also the everyday sports, it's the same process. Only like the stakes are a bit higher with and the influences. But I think in essence, it's the same risk-taking.
Interesting.
Like you, but there it is like, you know, you get with sports, you know what you get back. You know the risks are usually very low, so you do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in other situations, it can be very insecure.
Mm-hmm.
How it goes, where you will be afterwards. I mean, I think your example is a very impressive example. And
Don't tell.
No, but yeah, like, okay, risk-taking like that is, of course, on a very different level than everyday risk-taking. But still, like, the risk was high, but the future possibly reward you would get for doing it was even more important, so that it was worth it.
True. Just to put you people in context, I came to Germany through Turkey, through the sea, and all the way to Germany through, you know, like with the wave at the end of 2015, beginning of 2016, just to know that that was a risk-taking in my head, at least, where like I left everything behind. And just like, I don't think it is, maybe it's riskier from, you know, sea and drowning or whatever, or get lost or get abused. But I think it's as risk-taking as somebody leave their hometown and go somewhere else, especially if it's totally different. Like, you know, you came from the Netherlands to Germany, the differences are a lot, but they are not massive, and they're like 1 hour, let's say 1 hour by flight, right? But you still feel a lot of changes. But people who come, I don't know, from Asia to Germany or from South America or Africa or Middle East, it's massive, massive change. And I think this is has more implication on risk taking to me in my head than, I don't know, do skydiving.
Of course, of course. It's from a totally different order.
But they're all risk taking. But I'm really intrigued by the your like everyday risk is a risk taking, but we just don't think about it this way. Which is sometimes when you want to do these risk-taking initiatives for your life because your life is stale, not going well, you don't really think of that you're doing it every day, basically. But you're going to the same, doing the same thing, you're risking your mental state, getting it weaker and weaker and weaker, but you don't really register that you're doing risk every day. And then if you really look at it that way, that you're taking risk every day, now just is this a different type of risk taking, I think it would help more and to help us get better, don't you think?
Better in those decisions, you mean?
Just making decisions or like lose the fear, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lose the fear and doing something new because you're doing or you're taking risk every day, as you just said. Like for example, I play football every day. Right? Or soccer, as you call it, because you went to LA and you now call it soccer. How dare you?
I call it football, but just to be...
and then I want now to change from football to basketball. I think the people think it's sport. It's physical. Yes, I have to learn new stuff, learn new techniques. But I think the risk-taking would be, what if I fail in this new? Would I go back to basketball?
That's also part of risk-taking. I think it is really interesting to be aware of it because it's that's the mental and the physical part again, like it's the mental and the prestigious part. But for example, on the physical level, and it maybe plays a role when you pass 30, but for example, going from outdoor football to indoor football is more risk-taking because you can be pretty sure that like one or two times in a year your knee is hurt or your ankle is hurt.
Really? Like futsal?
Yeah.
Because why?
Because it's way more risky.
Why?
I don't know. Because the surface is harder. The movements, it's more intense.
Because it's a smaller field. Okay.
Yeah, but it's maybe also more fun. So do you then decide to do that? You know, but that's, I mean, as I said, that's risk, or as we said, that's risk taking on a very small scale and doesn't compare with big life deciding risk taking that that we can do or that we don't do.
Okay.
Because that's also interesting. I mean, it's just everybody... takes the decisions and takes the path they want. But yeah, you can also have a life without... you can cut it out.
Okay, I will cut it out. So this brings me to failure. Because I think a lot of people don't take the risks because they're afraid of failure. And I don't know, I understand on the mental level, and I also understand on the sport level that is you're changing your career or the field that you're doing with. So, but isn't failure part of who we are? Isn't failure going to teach us? So why are we afraid of it?
Well, I think part of it because of ego, part of it. Like if you say like in the sports or career way, because you want to, you are wanting to reach something, like an example or something that you think you should reach. Mm-hmm. But I totally agree, like risk-taking can also be forced and not per se forced by one individual, but maybe forced by a situation. And I think in those situations, if there is then risk-taking, in my opinion, you can't really fail. Like if you decide to do so or to take the risk to change something, I don't think there is really... failing. It's just seeing how it goes because you had no choice, you had to do this, so it was the right thing to do something. And I mean, then you can also think about how risky is it to not do something. So I think in a lot of situations like that, it's probably better to do something, to take the risk, and basically taking the risk is already the victory, or like an achievement, let's say like that.
I agree in a sense. For example, I graduated as a computer engineer, but all my life I wanted to be in social sciences. So when I decided finally to stop working as an engineer or an IT, let's call it, because engineering is hard to find as a job, and when I changed, everyone was like, "What are you doing?" And then after I graduated, it's like, "Can I find a job?" Would people look at me? I was like, "Okay, so that was a lost two years that you did nothing with them," and then this failure of like, "Can I do it now with my new thing that I've learned?" And I think sometimes, like, I usually don't, if I want to do something, I would do it. I don't care if I fail or win, because for me, failing, I learned, you know? So failing is a learning process. But it always comes up with maybe social pressure, you know? Like, people look at you like, why are you hurting yourself? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And you just, sometimes I feel a lot of people that I talk to, because I also work as a mentor and a coach, and a lot of people are afraid from not reaching people's expectations rather than really doing this thing and just really enjoy it. Because you said in the beginning, going back to the beginning, it's about happiness. It's about, like, you know, getting something inside of you. And I think it's not failure that you're not going to do this, or you're going to break your arm if you're going to play football. It's really more about what people are. See, you broke your arm because you played football, in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially the beginning, what you said, that I think people are often afraid of doing things, or afraid of not doing things because of, like, conventions. Do you call it conventions? Like
societal structures or something? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think most of the success stories didn't take the usual routes and did take some risk taking that was not everyday life risk taking.
True.
And then I don't even mean like big success stories that you will find in, I don't know, like, which are globally known or like with known in the big public, but also like small personal success stories, I think. So I would say in general, often it's worth taking a risk.
Nice. So that was super interesting. Before we wrap up, maybe we can kind of summarize everything that we spoke about.
We're done already?
Okay. Next time, we can do it next time. Good. I want him to come next time.
Okay, so to wrap it up, risk taking. I think we agreed that there are different levels of risk-taking, like everyday life risk-taking, which you may be not aware of. Mm-hmm. And then there is like big, maybe even life-changing risk-taking. And there is this balance, you do it to win something. It can be physical, it can be mental, it can be whatever. And at the other side, there is, what are you going to risk, and what are the statistics of that? We didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
Maybe good. I think that second part, like, what are you risking?
Mm-hmm.
That might be especially in daily life or in life deciding risk taking, that might be too often defined by social structures, expectations, pressure that people put also for themselves on.
This is our episode basically for the week. The word of the day is risk taking. Let us know how we did. Do you have anything to add to it? Have you ever taken risks? Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Don't forget to subscribe and share. You know, you can find it all on the website and all on the podcasting channels. Thank you, Jeroen, for being here. It was really, really interesting. Looking forward for you coming back.
Thank you, Arvid. Really enjoyed it. And good luck with the series.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and have a great day.